U.S. bishops from states as diverse as Montana, Oregon, and Alaska are in Rome this week for their ad limina visits. Among the prelates from the USCCB's Region 12 is Bishop George Leo Thomas of Helena, Montana. He spoke with Christopher Wells about the visit and about the issues facing the church in the United States.
Well, the ad limina apostolorum is a time for each bishop to reconnect with the Holy Father and the See of Peter and to, in some ways, just recover and remember the apostolic foundations of our ministry. So it really is a retreat for all of us.
And Bishop, one of the big news items here in the States now, the United States bishops have spoken out very strongly on the issue of religious liberty and how that's impacting the church, especially in this election year. Can you speak to that a little bit for us?
Well, it has had an interesting effect in the Diocese of Helena. I put out a pastoral letter some weeks ago the letter was read in all of our parishes, and at the Cathedral Parish in Helena, the people applauded raucously and, in fact, stood up to both voice their support and demonstrate their support of the direction that the Bishops' Conference has chosen. I think that, interestingly enough, the HHS mandate has served to both galvanize the Catholics and force them to become very informed on the issues of the day. So in a certain sense, there is a silver lining in a dark cloud.
And the U.S. bishops have been unanimous in speaking out on this issue. What are some of the other issues that you're bringing with you to Rome to speak about with the Holy Father?
We had our visit with the Holy Father this morning, and several of the bishops spoke, I'd say rather eloquently, about the pressures that we face in the Northwest. We are in an area, I in Montana, but along with the Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Alaska bishops, have a common theme that we want to bring to the Holy Father, and that is that we live and labor in one of the most unchurched portions of the nation. And so our work is very clearly directed toward missionary and evangelization work, awakening the Catholic spirit in those who are already baptized, but then bringing the name of Christ to people that do not know him.
And Bishop, that dovetails very nicely with the emphasis of the Holy Father and the Church on the new evangelization. What are some of the ways that you're bringing that new evangelization to people in a new era of Facebook and internet and instant communications? What are some of the initiatives that you're working on?
Well, we're beginning, first of all, by mobilizing the diocesan clergy. They're really the key to bringing the vision of the new evangelization to the people. So our presbyteral council, our priest council in our own diocese, and I are working together to create a very concerted plan in this upcoming year of faith that would help each Catholic reclaim his or her own baptismal promise and identity as a Catholic, and then to very courageously invite others to taste and see the goodness of the Lord. And that means reactivating Catholics within their own circle of friends or family. It means being very courageously public about the Catholic faith. My message, of course, over and over again is that I think no more camouflage Catholics in our diocese. Mediocrity, the lukewarm spirit is an enemy of the church.
It seems like it's a very positive message that you're bringing. A lot of times the church is portrayed kind of negatively, and yet you and the other bishops I've spoken to are able to seem to present it as a very positive message.
It's positive in every way. The church in the Northwest is very intentional. It's very dynamic. I baptized and received in our own small diocese 130 Catholics at Easter time. Across the United States, there are tens of thousands of new Catholics coming aboard due to the witness of the lay faithful and certainly to the preaching and teaching by the clergy. So I see it as a springtime in the church.
At the same time, there's certainly some challenges that we're facing in our country and in the church as a whole. What do you see as some of the challenges that you have to address as a diocesan bishop?
Well, there are difficult challenges. I've listed some in the report that I prepared for the Holy See, and I'd say that the top of the list, the secularization of culture, moral relativism, what I described as privatization of religious practice. In other words, people keep religion to themselves in their own little box, which is very difficult and unacceptable. Religious indifferentism, which means, sadly, some people believe that one religion is as good as the other or as same as the other, and so to raise up the beauty and the power and the apostolicity of the Roman Catholic faith. Challenges on the traditional family in our area. I mean, that's been a major hardship. And then there are waves of what I would describe as secularism or organized atheism that attempts to silence the voice of the church. And sadly, many of those people are very well funded, and they've understood how to use the legislative process and the judicial process, the courts, to effect a secularist agenda. So we really do have to be very sophisticated and work closely with the laity who are on the front lines and need to be informed on the challenges of the day.
Do you have some specific ideas on how to address these problems? It seems like the church is kind of playing catch-up with some of the people who have different agendas.
Well, some of the things that I spoke of this morning with the Holy Father, and I think maybe even one of the most promising things, is to rediscover the power of the Catholic University. In our own diocese, we have a Catholic college. 8 years ago, in an effort to ensure that our own college remains in the forefront of dialogue with culture, I appointed a dynamic young priest with the idea of renewing the heart of the college through his work with students, the sacramental ministry he offers them, catching them on fire for the faith. But also, certainly working with the faculty, dialogue with the president, a board of trustees, inculcating the Pope John Paul's vision of ex corde ecclesiae, which is a powerful vision for Catholic universities, all that intended to prepare Catholic students as they emerge from our colleges to enter into culture and society already well prepared to bring the power of the gospel into culture and society. And I see that as a tremendously powerful antidote to the troubles of the day.
And moving on to a slightly different topic, but certainly in line with what we've been speaking about, the Holy Father has promoted a Year of Faith beginning next year. Do you have any specific plans for that or any ideas of what you hope to accomplish during that Year of Faith?
We're bringing back a document that was prepared here at the Holy See with, I think, some pretty practical ideas, and I'll be having a consultative process beginning with our own priest counselors when we get back, so that we'll certainly be able to celebrate the anniversary of these of the council, but to be very creative. And so I don't yet anticipate the kind of concrete ideas that will come out of that, but they'll be expressed through liturgy, through opportunities for in-service and education, formation, certainly celebration.
And Bishop, as we finish up, is there anything else particularly on your mind that you'd like to talk about and share with our listeners?
One thing that I would certainly want to share with the people of our own diocese, but certainly across the country and the world, and that is to take seriously your own individual call to holiness, your personal encounter with Christ, and to remain very steeped in the sacramental life of the church. It is an emancipating and joyful life as a Catholic.